The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome, this is Grace in Focus. Glad you are joining us today as we talk about fellowship with God. What are the requirements for staying in fellowship? How does it work? What scriptures are central passages for fellowship? Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Learn more about us and especially our national conference at faithalone.org. Early bird registration is running out of time. You'll need to get there by today or tomorrow. Don't miss it. We'd love to have you with us. Find it all at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, we have a question from Samuel today. And he's asking, what does a person need to do in order to stay in fellowship with God? Are there any other requirements besides confessing your sins? And is confessing the same as praying for forgiveness?
Okay, that's a good question. Let me answer that last one first. No, confession is not praying for forgiveness. Confession is, the Greek word is homologeo, and it's used in the New Testament here for confession of sins, but it's often used for confessing Christ. Jesus says, he who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. If we are faithful in proclaiming Christ, which primarily is done, by the way, by going to church and assembling together with other believers, and therefore we're publicly confessing our faith in Christ by being part of the believing community, which includes, of course, people being baptized who are publicly acknowledging their faith in Christ. But it would include evangelism, of course, as we share our faith with people, etc. But that's also called confession. It's to state something, to acknowledge something, to declare something. Another word for confess would be to declare. So asking for forgiveness is not declaring our sin. Declaring our sin is acknowledging our sin to God. So,
can you acknowledge your sin by praying to God for forgiveness, or what's the difference there?
Okay, good question. You can't really acknowledge your sin by praying for forgiveness because we're never told to pray. Well, I guess we are in the sense of in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But there, that's really not a prayer where I'm acknowledging sin in my life. It's just acknowledging the fact that I realize that the forgiveness I have on an ongoing basis comes from God. And in answering one of Samuel's other questions, it is contingent on me forgiving others.
Right.
Because if I'm not forgiving others, then God's not going to forgive me. So in answer to his bigger question, what's the requirement for staying in fellowship? In light of 1 John, in 1 John 1:7, John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Now, that doesn't use the word forgiveness. It talks about cleansing, which is related but different. And we see that in 1 John 1:9. Maybe you could read 1:9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So notice here, the cleansing is different than the forgiving. He forgives us the sins we confess, and then he cleanses us from all our sins, even the ones we're not aware of. And the implication in 1 John 1:9 is when we confess the sins we're aware of, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more sins, but God is cleansing us from all of them if we acknowledge the ones we're aware of. So when you tie this together with 1 John 1:7, it's not enough to simply tell God, okay, I lied, or okay, I had an outburst of wrath and that was wrong. That was road rage, Lord, I was wrong. It's interesting, by the way, I remember once Zane Hodges was asked by Joe Galassio, how sorry do I need to be for my sins when I confess them? And Zane's response is, the issue is not how sorry you are at all. The issue is, are you honest with God? That's what God's calling you to be, is honest with him about your sin. Now, of course, if you want to do that sin again and you're planning on doing that sin again, that's something else you've got to confess because you've got a wrong attitude. But if your attitude is, I desire to please God, but I'm not particularly sorry for the sin, that's not the issue. The issue isn't whether you're sorry or not. If your desire is to please God, then that's what's important. And you need to be walking in the light in order for confession to work, which means I'm walking in the revelation of God. That's what the light is there. And there's no darkness in God. There's no sin in God. His revelation does not produce sin. It produces righteousness.
And where do we find the revelation?
Yeah, in the Word.
In the Word.
Yeah. And so God's Word is what is guiding us, you know, Romans 12:2, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And so as God's Word guides us, we become aware of sin in our life. And in fact, oftentimes we think, well, I became aware of this sin because the Holy Spirit nudged my conscience. True, but for the most part, that all comes because of the Word that is implanted within us, to use a word that James uses, when we hear it preached.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2025 National Conference is May 19th through 22nd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones, great teaching. Our theme this year is dispensationalism and rewards. VBS for kids, too. More information and early bird registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
The word that is implanted within us, to use a word that James uses, when we hear it preached.
It's the word that guides our conscience to know, oh, that was what I did there was wrong, and I do need to confess it and acknowledge it before the
right.
Lord.
Let me give you an example of where sometimes our conscience doesn't work. I mean, it comes to later, but a young couple came to Bill Count's church in North Dallas and came to faith. And this young couple had been together for, I don't know, about a year. So they were in his church for about 9 months before they heard him. He was preaching through a particular book, and he came to a passage that was talking about immorality, and he pointed out that sex outside of marriage is immorality, and it's against God's will. Well, they were shocked. They'd been sleeping together for a couple of years at this point, and they weren't married, and they didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I mean, society said that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And they thought it was perfectly fine. So they were convicted, and they came to Pastor Bill Counts and said, what should we do? And he said, well, there's two basic solutions here. One is you stop sleeping together, and two, you get married. And they're like, really? Is that simple? If we get married, God would be pleased with that? And he said, sure. If you're married, God wants you to have sexual relations and have children and et cetera. And so they were like, okay, will you marry us? And so he went through premarital counseling and he married.
Yeah, that seems to be an example where the word changed their conscience.
And, right.
You know, it changed their mindset of, oh, I didn't realize I was wrong until the world revealed it to me that what we were doing was immoral and sinful.
Right. So the point here, Samuel, is if you're in fellowship with God, the way to stay in fellowship with God, according to 1 John, is to continue to walk in the light. That means I continue to go to church and I confess my sins. Now, let me give you an example where confession wouldn't work. I was in a Bible study one time, and a man who was now in his 50s told the story when he was a teenager. He was invited to a kegger where you would drink beer in high school. And so he went. And the first time he went, he drank a little bit of beer and got a little buzz, but really wasn't drunk. But then the next weekend, he was invited again, and he drank more and got drunk, and he found he liked it. But he was convicted that this was sin. So he confessed it. But he made plans to go the next weekend and get drunk again. So the next weekend, he got drunk, but he confessed it and thought he was okay. Well, then pretty soon it was not just Friday, but now it was Friday and Saturday nights. And so he would confess before Sunday and thought he was okay. And this went on for months.
But he already had the plans for next week, but
right.
He hadn't confessed that. So
right.
that's what was his problem.
So
right?
he was like the prodigal son.
Mm.
He was in the spiritual far country, even though he was going to church, mm-hmm. even though he was theoretically confessing that this was sin, but he was in rebellion against God. And
he wasn't walking in the light.
He wasn't walking in the light. And so once he got that straightened out and came back from the far country, then he was back in fellowship with God. And so, Samuel, there's another point to be considered, and that is the person who's out of fellowship with God, his remedy is not confession, it's repentance. He needs to actually be like the prodigal son and leave the far country behind and return to the Father. Now, 1 John, if you read 1 John 2, verses 12, 13, and 14, it's clear that he's writing to people who are spiritually mature. They're overcomers. They've overcome the world. He goes on to say, you have no need that anyone should teach you. Well, he's not saying the readers didn't need Christian instruction, but what he's saying is there were false teachers whom the author of 1 John calls antichrists who were trying to deceive people. And he's saying, you don't need these antichrists. You don't need anyone to teach you the basic principles of the word because you're well-grounded believers. And so writing to mature believers, he can tell them to stay in fellowship, continue to walk in the light, continue to confess your sins. But if a believer is out of fellowship, well, then they need to be like the prodigal and repent, turn from their sinful ways, and get back in fellowship with God. Like the young man I was talking about, mm-hmm. his solution was stop getting drunk.
Right.
Stop doing that because you're intentionally getting drunk. That means you're like the prodigal who says, I'm going to squander my inheritance on prodigal living.
So repentance is really more needed for someone who's kind of resolved to walk away from the Lord or not follow the Lord.
That's right. Now, some people say there's an element of repentance in confession in the sense that when I'm confessing, I'm acknowledging this is wrong. And therefore, I'm acknowledging that I don't want to displease the Lord. I want to please him. And I would say that's right. But the author of 1 John doesn't call that repentance. In fact, guess what? The words repent and repentance, metanoia and metanao in Greek, never occur in 1 John. And yet the purpose of 1 John, according to chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, is that the readers would continue to walk in fellowship with God. So repentance is not a condition for fellowship with God if we're already in fellowship.
Very good.
So great question, Samuel. I really like it. The issue is not asking for forgiveness. The issue is walking in the light and acknowledging our sins when we become aware of them.
And let's all
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, how do we learn to love God? Please join us for it. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.